Thank you. Dear brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God. And today, I have no translation, so I will speak English directly. Hopefully, you can hear. I can speak clearly and you can hear clearly. Thanks God for His protection that allowed me to complete His short-term mission trip to India and come back safely. I'm also sincerely thank brother sister's prayer for your prayer. The prayer in the name of Jesus is truly powerful. This was the true experience for me during this mission trip, and I will share a specific example later. Let's read verse. Again, let's read it together. Matthew chapter 4, 23 to 25. Let's start. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Jesus Christ took on human form and came into the world to live among people. He understood our weakness and had compassion on us, seeing us as a sheep without a shepherd, harassed and helpless. At the age of 30, Jesus began his ministry, traveling throughout the towns and the village of Galilee, searching for his lost sheep to bring them home and shepherd them. Jesus taught in synagogues with divine authority, leading people back to the Father. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of heaven, calling people to repent and turn to God. For the kingdom of heaven was near, and God's judgment was coming soon. Those who trust in the Savior sent by God will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus also healed various diseases among the people, cleansing lepers and making the lame walk, giving sight to the blind, and opened the ears of the dead. He performed many miraculous healings, not only out of his deep love and compassion, but also to confirm that he is the Savior sent by God. Jesus possessed the true divine authority and power because he is the Almighty God. He cast out demons, and even they recognized him, pray before him because they knew he was the Lord of heaven and the earth. While people may not recognize Jesus, but the demon certainly did. And they couldn't stand before him. The darkness and the evil must flee in his presence. These were the main works of Jesus done on earth, saving and having mercy on people. And since we have saved by Jesus and have become his disciples, what means disciples? Disciple means we need to follow with him. That means disciple, right? So we must follow with Jesus' steps. What Jesus did on the earth, so we need to follow with Jesus what Jesus is doing. So first thing, following in Jesus require to learning the spirit of incarnation. The incarnation, that means God come from heaven to the earth. So we need to lower down ourselves and truly living among those who we are called to serve. In this this Indian mission trip, we have 33 brothers and sisters from North America and China and participate in this mission trip. And we have, so 33 people, we formed a non-small team and traveling to Central and the North of India and Nepal. I left home on January 11, and returned home safely on January 28. This 17 days journey in India was filled with the anticipation and abundant experience every day, as well as many first-time encounters. The experience of cross-cultural mission began even on the flight from the German to Indian. I transferred the flights as a Frankfurt and to New Delhi. And the airline from Frankfurt to New Delhi, the airline, the bill, they provided the Indian bills, which tastes not good. I'm not getting to the Indian food. There is a picture. Okay, you see that. It's what kind of like this. And taste, I'm not getting to the taste. However, when I eat this food, God gave me my words, say, if you want to be do the cross-cultural mission, you have to learn first to your stomach should be cross-cultural first. So, and upper arriving, we were picked up by the local co-workers. In India, that's amazing. I saw the cars, the traffic, it's amazing me. In India, the cars driving on the left side of the road, and the driver say is on the right. The roads so chaotic. There seemed no traffic rules. Like vehicles, all kind of the vehicles, like a colorful bus, trucks, taxi, and motorcycles, and bicycle, and cars, and all crowded together. And I only see three traffic lights in the city, the first city I visit. That's a big city. I only saw three traffic lights. And even those traffic lights seems for them it's like optional. It's a land, it's a like kind of it's the ultimate freedom. But it surprised me, even I saw it's very chaotic, but I didn't see the accident happen. So this order become an order of the night. Do you know what I mean? So the cross-cultural mission require truly immersing ourselves in the local culture and the society and the daily life. If one cling to their own cultural stance, it's difficult to engage in effective mission work. Jesus is a perfect example for us to learn cross-cultural mission. Slides go to the next, I'll show you some. So after a few days, I slowly get used to the Indian food. So this one is a very traditional Indian food, that's the bread, but by inside it's empty, so you can just crush that sauce. This one is a yogurt, something. After a few days, I started to get used to the Indian food and I start to like it. Actually, Indian food tastes very good. And next one. Oh, this one, that dish, that's we had the lunch in the church. And so all the people sit on the ground. And so the people, they will put the plate before you, and they will dump some the bread and the sauce, and so you just use your finger and to sit on the ground and use your finger to eat. And then, so that's my feet. Okay, I see. Next one. Okay, so this one is the Indians, they call it a chai. Actually, it's tea. So every Indian, if you visit the Indian families, so they will prepare a chai for you. Yeah, you need a drink to show your respect. Otherwise, if you don't drink, they think you don't respect them. So the chai is actually it's good. It's they use a tea and a ginger and a sugar and a milk and to cook and to make it. So every day we visit four families. So every day I will drink four times of this chai. Actually, it's like the milk tea, kind of like this. Okay, and they have some dessert. And the next one. Okay, so when I arrived at the New Delhi airport. So that's my first impression of Indian like this. Okay, and the next one. So let's say I take the picture when I sit in car. You see the traffic. It's they have the lines, right? But all the cars they didn't follow the lines. They just all just scratch together, and for example, there's three lines or two lines. You may find the four cars parallel. So there's no people to follow the lines. Okay, next one. Yeah, I took another picture. You see that some like women sitting in the truck. So that's their traffic. And no police to stop them because you can do whatever you want. So in India it said absolutely freedom. So but okay, that's next one. And the Indian. One thing that surprised me, I saw so many temples, everywhere, every street, big temple, small temples, everywhere, every street has a temple. And in India, 80% of the Indian people, they are Hindus, okay? Like that picture, that's very typical, the Hindi, the symbol in the hill. Next one. Okay. So, Jesus traveled through Galilee towns and villages to preach. And so we followed the Jesus steps. We also went to various places from a remote mountain village to towns and to seek the lost sheep. Our first stop was in a mountain region, and so we visited the village, and there they lived many poor villagers, families. A local pastor traveled in this area with riding the motorcycle, and he preached the gospel and shepherded the people in the mountain areas. And we joined him to share the God's love and the salvation of Jesus. The villagers, when we preach, the villagers, they just sit on the ground, and they listen very carefully. Their pure eyes is very impressed. Their eyes is very pure and very focused. That's very impressed me. And even the kids, they sit on the ground, they're very quiet. The kids can sit on the ground for 1 hour and no speaking and no talking and no moving around. The kids is so lovely. And after we preach, many choose to accept Jesus as their savior. And this confirms the Bible teaching that God doesn't show favoritism. God doesn't forget those living remote and impoverished areas. but extends his grace to save them. Also, we visit a more prosperous village nestled with the Nash Valley, and the family there lived and very harmony and in a large courtyard and with multiple generations under one roof. And we visit one big family. They live in a big courtyard, and the whole family has 100 people there. The multiple generations, they just live under one roof. And those people, they are very friendly, and they are very receptive to the gospel. The entire family responded to the call of salvation. And by the end of the day, and many people believe in Jesus. That demonstrated that the wealth doesn't necessarily hinder people from believing God. God looked at their heart. Not only poor people eager for the gospel, for some wealthy people, even they're looking for, they are open to the gospel. God looking for their hearts. So later, could you go to Zhang? I'll show you that. So that's their bed. So that's very popular, that's bed. And they just put the blanket and sleep on that. And in daytime, they can use the bed as a chair. So when guests come, you just sit on the bed. And the next one. So that's the big family we visit. And this one is the head of the whole family. And his whole family has 100 people. And so when we sit there and preach the gospel, and I looked at this man, and his heart is open. And when we're talking, and he's smiling, like this. And I saw his heart is open to the gospel. And when we call him to believe in Jesus, and he raised his hand, and the whole family saw his raised hand. So the whole family raised hands. And the next one. So later on, we went to another big family. And this one also is the head of the whole family. He's 87. He's 87 years old. And also, he's open to the gospel. And after we preached, and he raised his hand, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And his family has 50 people in his big family. And I know that there are another bigger family. They have 200 people. So if you share gospel into for those 200 people, you may get 200 people believe in Jesus in one shot. Later, we preached the gospel in New Delhi with some lower class families. Life for them was very difficult. Many of them not no work, and their living condition very bad. And like five people or six people, they just live in 10 square meters areas. Everything in that 10 square meters. Their living condition is very bad, but they're eager to hear the gospel, and God also ready to grant them salvation. And on our last day, we visit a Muslim background family. So this picture I took in New Delhi. And I heard before that in New Delhi, their vines, it's all like a web. As what mixed together, it's amazing. If there is issues, how they fix the web, I don't know. If you are a technician, how can you fix the web if there are some issues? Okay, next one. So the building is very close to each other, And even you can, you standing in this building, you can touch another building, say how closely. So we just walk beside, in the middle of those buildings, and there are many grocery stores and around those the base level. The next one. So that's the way we visit the Muslim background families, and we need to wear the hat, okay? And when you say a Muslim, say hello, how to say a Muslim? How to say? Do you know how to say hello to a Muslim? I'd say shalom, shalom alaikum. Like this. Okay. Before we visit this Muslim families, we say, okay, probably it's hard to share gospel with the Muslim background families. But actually, they were surprisingly open to the gospel, especially the teenager girls. In that family, they have like three teenager girls. They're so open to the gospel. When we share the gospel, they're smiling and they say, yes, 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 yes. And when we call in and say, who is believing Jesus? And they first say yes. And they talk to their parents and their grandparents, say yes. So after that, the whole family in that meeting, probably like around 20 people. So the whole family believing in Jesus, from the grandparents to the youngest children, all choose to believe in Jesus. It's amazing. And even the grandmother, after believing Jesus, and he started to sing songs. And she is so happy. And that experience told me that some Muslims, if they are not strict, bound by their tradition, their hearts is open. They are willing to embrace Jesus as their Savior. Jesus traveled everywhere and teaching people and preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and bring people back to God. So in this mission trip, when we have the gathering, we sing the Indian songs and share the personal testimony and preach the basic message of the gospel. Many people believe with a simple faith, while some expressed willingness to believe as they saw we are foreigners, but many people sincerely trust Jesus as their Savior. After receiving the gospel, and their faith showed the divine peace from heaven. Sorrow turned to joy, grief turned to comfort, and hopeless turned to hopeful, and the bondage turned to freedom. Gospel has power to change people's life. That's the I experienced in this mission trip. I give you a few examples. One family had lost both fathers and sons, leaving behind a widow mother-in-law and a widow daughter-in-law and a teenager, rebellious teenager grandson. The daughter-in-law was so overwhelmed by grief that she couldn't speak and sleep for 3 months after her husband died. A neighbor invited her to our gathering, and we prayed for her. That night, she had a dream in which an angel touched her mouth, so open to speak, and pat her face, say, sleep. That night, she had a very good sleeping, and next morning, she opened her mouth, can speak. It's a true story. And on this third day, And we have another meeting. And she and her mother-in-law and her son come to join the meeting. And we saw the family. And I saw her face. I saw she is speaking. Because everyone knows that she cannot speak for 3 months. After we pray for them, pray for her, God save her and God give her mercy and she can speak. That's I saw face to face, I saw the family and things happened. And another story, a 32 years old woman was tortured by demons for a long time. Her mother brought her to church during the worship service. As we prepared to pray, the demons manifest, causing her to collapse and rolling on the ground. That's what I saw. When we start to pray, she falling on the ground and rolling on and rolling and screaming. And so we spent a long time to cast out many demons from her. I'd say even I cast demons for her, and after one hour, I was so tired. Even my voice is a little bit changed. And eventually we cast out all the demons from her. And 3 days later, she attended the church workers' meeting and made a commitment that he will share the gospel with 500 people because she had personally experienced the power of gospel of Jesus. She knows that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And she immediately said she wants to serve God because she has such kind of the amazing experience. God saved her. So from this story that we saw that God, the gospel has the power to change people's life. That's just one example. We cast out demons from the people. Actually, in the whole trip, we cast out six people who have a demon possessed. That's in my life. It's first experience. Before I know there is a demons, and we know demon will some people the demon possessed, but this time I really see how demon possessed on a person, how it looks like. And but the most important thing is we can cast out demons by Jesus' name. Jesus' name is so powerful. We prepare to pray, and the demon cannot stand. And that is the people collapse on the ground and rolling. That's so probably you never experience such kind of things. But I want to share this since then you know that we believe in Jesus. Jesus is so powerful. So powerful. Jesus can, we pray with by Jesus' name, we can cast out the demon, right? Even the demon you say it's powerful, but a demon cannot stand before Jesus. And so following Jesus' step require obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Each day, we had a preliminary plan for our schedule, but unexpected situation often require changes. Sometimes, host families were unable to accommodate us, leading to cancel the gathering. At some time, safety concerns require us to avoid certain locations. Occasionally, additional meetings were arranged at the last minute. So we need obey the Holy Spirit. And so we need to submit ourselves to Holy Spirit guidance every day. Whenever the Holy Spirit leads us, so we will win. We will go with the Holy Spirit. Every morning, we wake up, we begin with the devotion and prayer. Once we get into the car, and we start to pray and sing Indian songs. When we arrive at the village, and we will pray and bless the village. When we enter into the families, we pray for the families and bless the families. But some unforeseen challenge often arose in the process of the evangelism. For example, there are instances of rejection and resistance that require us to adjust accordingly under the Holy Spirit's guidance. One of our small team were reported to the police by his neighbors while we sharing the gospel at the driver's the home. And so we know that then we immediately decided to flee the city and overnight. On the way, we encountered a car accident and this thick fog on the highway. But our hearts, it's still remain at peace because we know that it's God guide us to leave the city to another place. Because in that morning, during our devotion, we had read Acts chapter 16. In there says the Holy Spirit forbade Paul from preaching in Asia and instead direct him to Macedonia. So we believe that even we were reported to the police, but we think it's a sign of the Holy Spirit lead us to a new place. That's that overnight we flee to the capital city, New Delhi. New Delhi is a big city and with more than 10 million people live there. It was a vast and a strategic field for the gospel. Many people from different states of India come to the capital to work. And if they believe in Jesus, and they could spread the gospel throughout the whole country, right? So the gospel ministry in major city is crucial. So because originally, our plan, we didn't plan to New Delhi, but that accident happened. The neighbor report to the police, so we made the changes. Say we need to flee to the big city, and because it's a big city, it's hard for the police to find us. At the end of the day, we share the every day we. At the end of the every day, we share the testimony of how the Holy Spirit and lead us and marvel the work of God. And so we encourage each other by sharing what we had witnessed and what happened. And we shared what God's work. And some small team had a low immediate believer on that day. But here is the other team, the testimony that strengthens their faith and give them the hope for the future harvest. And one day we went to our area, we have zero believers on that day. But the next day we went to another area, we have like almost 100 people believers in one day. So, so that's when you go out to share gospel, such kind of things always happen. But the most important thing is that we need to follow with the Holy Spirit's guidance. And the Holy Spirit guide you to here, you go there. And the Holy Spirit direct to you there, you just go there. And the Holy Spirit said, today, and because this land is so hard, and there is low believers, so that's okay. And tomorrow we go to the another area, it's a harvest day, you can have many believers. So we need to follow with the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 9, 36 to 39, that says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. During this mission trip, we met many dedicated local gospel workers. They followed in Jesus' steps, risking their lives to spread the gospel. They accompanied us throughout our journey. They organized the meeting and they invited seekers to attend and served as a translator translate English and to Hindi for us. Through the conversation, we learned about their faith journey and the current struggles, which deeply moved us. One co-worker had a tumor in his stomach, yet he continued to accompany us every day, say he would wait until we left, and then he would go to the hospital to do the surgery. And another co-worker, his wife has a cancer, yet he still traveled daily from village to village with us to share his gospel. And several co-workers, they work tirelessly. They spread the gospel in daytime and work in the nighttime to support their families. So every day they only get a few hours sleep. One missionary from a Muslim background family, he believed in Jesus and he was repelled from his home by his father. He sleep in the street and without food and was shelter. Eventually, when he hungry too much, he cannot bear the hungry. He returned home and beaten by his father, almost died. Yet he refused to renounce his faith and continued to share the gospel with his wife every day. And in the end, his father said, "Your God is more powerful than man." It's a very touched story. And his cousin lost both necks in an accident, but he walks from house to house on the prosthetic neck, the false neck, and to spread the gospel. How come? It's he lost the two necks and installs the prosthetic legs and to share gospel every day from this house to another house. So touched. And in India, probably you don't know that, in India, many states, they have a law called the anti-conversion law. Anti-conversion law. Especially targeted Christianity, prohibiting Hindus from converting to Christianity. Many gospel workers have been arrested because of this law. But the church continued to spread the gospel activity. Most of these believers have personally experienced the power of Jesus Christ. And for them, life and death, no matter for them. So that's a story I want to, that's a short sharing with my mission trip in India. To summarize, this 2-week mission trip in India allowed us to experience the firsthand what Jesus did when he preached on earth. His footstep should be model for all followers. The experience during these 2 weeks were incredible, rich, and transformable. And if I had never gone out this evangelism, I would have missed out this unforgettable encounters experience. Only by following Jesus' step, preaching the gospel, pray for the healings, and we can truly witness the power of the gospel, transforming lives, and see God's miracle works through prayers. So I encourage everyone, don't be afraid. Share with your classmates and your friends why you believe in Jesus. That's called the evangelism. Then pray for them. You will surely see God's work, and your faith will be strengthened. So that's my sharing. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you to give me a chance to share my Indian mission trip with the English congregations. And thank you to give me the chance and to share gospel in India, and pray for them and lead them to Jesus. We say you did the miracle things in India during this 2 weeks mission trip. And also we pray for everyone here. So we pray everyone can share gospel as well, locally and in other places. Doesn't matter. As long as we share gospel with our friends, with our families, with our classmates, and we will see the power of gospel and the power of God. So, and we pray for you put this heart into everyone. So wherever we go, and we can share Jesus' story with the people when we meet. Thank you to power us, to strengthen us, and give us words so we can serve you in gospel. Thank you. Listen to our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.